Welcome to Sermons from Holy Trinity. Holy Trinity Lutheran Church is committed to the preaching of Jesus Christ crucified and risen for the justification of the sinner by grace through faith for Jesus' sake. And now a sermon from Pastor William Swirla of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church.
In the name of Jesus. Here again, this verse from Philippians chapter 2, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death upon a cross. Palm Sunday, Passion Sunday. As a kid growing up in the Lutheran church, I remembered only Palm Sunday. It was kind of the fun Sunday before all the big Holy Week festivities began. Got to play with palms in church, and we learned in Sunday school how to fold them up into a cross or do something creative with them or try not to poke your sister in the eye. I remember having them taken away from me by my mother, you know, and sitting there in the pew, and that was the end of the palms and the end of Palm Sunday. And not about with the hymnal that preceded this hymnal, Palm Sunday morphed into something bigger, Passion Sunday. And it became a kind of a holy week compressed into one single service. So instead of just simply the Palm Sunday reading of the gospel, you heard the entire Passion narrative. It could have been even longer, as the fine print edition in the service folder indicated. And to make it a bit creative and to tune your ears into the narrative, the Passion is often set to music or chant, or in this case, a spoken choral reading. If you were to take the Sunday and summarize it in one word, it would be this word, Hosanna. Hoshiana in Hebrew. Save us now, Lord. That's what you shouted to the king as he rode into the city. That's how a king was greeted. Hoshiana, save us, Lord. It was the shout of confidence in the king. And when that confidence is King Jesus, it is not a confidence misplaced. Jesus came to save. His name, Yeshua, Yahweh is salvation, embodies salvation. And he rode into Jerusalem that day in order to save. He came in humility to humble himself in obedient death, to be the suffering servant who came not to be served by others, but to serve, and to lay down his life as a ransom, to purchase and win humanity from its enslavement to sin, to death, to pay the ultimate price in obedience to God's law by taking the wages of our sin upon himself and to die. The palm-strewn road is the road of our Lord's humbling for our salvation. He came to buy us back. He came to win us. This is the road of our Lord's passion, his passion to save you. His passion for the joy that was set before him, the joy of saving you personally, the joy of raising you up from the death of your sins, the joy of bestowing life on the world, life on you, and reconciling all things to the Father. He endured the cross and he scorned its shame for the joy of your salvation. The road begins at the city gate of Jerusalem. A borrowed donkey in fulfillment of Zechariah's prophecy. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Isaiah prophesied it centuries before. Scattered coats and palm branches pave the highway ahead of Jesus. Shouts of Hosanna greet him. Messianic expectation is so thick in the air you can cut it. Those shouts of Hosanna may have meant something a little bit different than save us from our sins. and save us from death. They may very well have been a call to arms, a call to revolt, a call to jihad against Rome. Hosanna may very well have been that call to holy war, and there is truth in it. Jesus came to wage holy war, not against flesh and blood, but to win flesh and blood. Not against a group of people, but to rescue all of humanity from itself and from the deep corruption of sin that drives each one of us to our death, to the grave, and were it not for Jesus, to hell itself. His holy war was against the spiritual forces of darkness that rule this world, against the lie of the devil, against the devil himself and his works. And so he enters his holy city as a conquering king to be conquered, as a king riding in majesty to his death on a cross. His road leads through the city streets of Jerusalem, streets that were paved with the blood of the prophets and the martyrs. It was not fitting for a prophet to die outside of Jerusalem, Jesus once quipped. That's why he came to Jerusalem, knowing that his disciples' Hosanna would be turned into shouts of "crucify him" on the lips of religious leaders in the city. The road goes to the temple, the place of sacrifice, the place of atonement, the place of prayer. It was the place where God planted his foot upon the earth and where he met with his people. It was a place of grace and mercy, of undeserved kindness toward the sinner through the blood of the sacrifice. But religion had turned the temple into a place of transaction, a place of bargaining with God, a place of bribing God. Jesus reclaims the temple as his own, his Father's place of prayer and forgiveness, and he casts out the money changers and the sacrifice sellers. And yet he says not one stone would be left on another, predicting the temple's demise and declaring that in 3 days he would raise the temple up again, not the building, his body, a new temple, a new way of God dwelling with his people, a new way of forgiveness. The road winds from the temple to a borrowed upper room in the Passover meal. His betrayer, Judas, is identified in fulfillment of the psalm that said, "One who breaks bread with me will betray me." He takes the bread of the Passover, the hard, unleavened bread of affliction, the bread that was eaten in Israel, in Egypt, on the way to freedom. And he gives this bread to his disciples as his own sacrificial body, given into death. "Take this, eat it. Do this for my remembrance." He takes the cup after supper, and he gives it as his own blood, which would soon be poured out as the new covenant spoken of by Jeremiah, a covenant of forgiveness in which I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. The road goes from the upper room to a garden, a scenic place, a tourist attraction today, the Mount of Olives, a place of prayer. And there Jesus agonizes in his own dark night, wrestling in prayer with the Father, seeking for another way and yet being totally obedient to his Father's will. As his own disciples sleep, Jesus prays, "Thy will be done," on behalf of all of humanity. "Thy will be done." And in his death on a cross, the Father's will is done. The eternal plan of salvation is accomplished. Your salvation is won. This is the Father's will, that all would be saved in Jesus, that all would come to the knowledge of the truth who is Jesus. This is the Father's will, that you would be rescued by the death of the Son and that you would live trusting, so that even though you die, you would live in him. His "Thy will be done" prayer ends with his arrest by an armed mob. He's betrayed with a disciple's kiss, a reminder that Christ is often betrayed by the insider, not the outsider. by those who call themselves disciples, by members of his own church, just as he was denied by Peter, his most fiercely loyal disciple. Let him who stands take heed, lest he too fall. No man is immune from these temptations, neither you nor me. There is a bit of Judas and a bit of Peter in each one of us. Jesus' road leads to the council, the Sanhedrin, the religious rulers. He is tried by religion, and religion finds him guilty. Guilty. Guilty of blasphemy against the name of God. Guilty for telling the truth about who he is. He is the Christ. He is the Son of God. And yet that is precisely religion's indictment against him. And it would be blasphemy of the highest order were these things not true. There have been many religious leaders who have promised to show us the way, but there is only one who is the way. There have been many religious teachers who have promised to deliver truth, but there's only one who claims to be the truth. There have been many prophets who have promised life, but there is only one who is the life. There have been many claiming to represent God and to speak for God, but there is only one who ever dared to claim to be the Son of God in human flesh. Religion finds him guilty. The road leads to Pontius Pilate and the Roman government. Civil authority, God's left hand. You would have no authority except that which was given you from above. It takes a little detour to King Herod, the self-proclaimed king of the Jews, the counterfeit king who meets the true king. And there is only mockery and scorn. A curious friendship is formed that day, Herod and Pilate. Bitter political enemies now become friends in their mutual hatred of Jesus. As they say, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Jesus is tried before the civil authority. The charge is treason, setting himself up to be a king. That's why the sign over his head, this is the king of the Jews. That's a crime. Punishable by crucifixion as a warning and as an example to anybody who would dare provoke an uprising against Caesar. Pilate is reluctant. He knows the principles of Roman justice. And yet these principles are forsaken in view of a mob that clamors for Jesus' crucifixion. How often it happens that expediency trumps political principle and that good government gives way to mob rule? A terrorist named Barabbas, by the way, Barabbas means son of the father, is set free. What irony. The counterfeit son of the father walks away a free man. The true son of the father goes to an innocent death. And that, my friends, is the happy exchange. Our sin, his righteousness. We are guilty as all hell, and he goes to our death in our place. The road winds through the streets of Jerusalem. A Passover pilgrim, Simon of Cyrene, is forced to carry Jesus' cross as the women stand on the side and wail and moan. And yet Jesus, ever compassionate, mourns for them. He knows the fate of Jerusalem. He knows the fate of the people. If they do this when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry? You and I know what they do when the wood is dry. We live in that age. Just look today and look into history. It's recorded there, what men do with the dry wood. The road leads to the place of the skull, to Golgotha, and there are three crosses there. On his left and on his right are thieves. They are terrorists. They are insurrectionists. They are guilty. They represent the world for whom Jesus died. Those who believe in him, those who do not believe in him. He died for us all. They are you and they are me in our sin, our rebellion, our unbelief. He prays for those who inflict his wounds. Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing. And he prays for us in the same way before the Father with those same wounds. Forgive them. They do not know what they are doing. The people on the road mock him. No more hosannas now. No more palm branches. No more save us. But now it's save yourself if you are the Christ. Ah, but were he to save himself, then he would not be the Christ. He pardons the dying thief. Today you will be with me in paradise. Sweet words of forgiveness. He speaks those words to you in the hour of your death too. Today you will be with me in paradise. The sun darkens, the earth shakes, the curtain is torn in two from top to bottom, and Jesus shouts his last humble words. This is not a sigh, this is a shout. This is not defeat, this is victory. They are the words of faith. He trusts his Father to his death. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. His life is in his Father's hands, just as your life is in his Father's hands. And this is how you may die too, thanks to Jesus, not with a whimper, but with a shout. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. The road leads to a new rock tomb, a rich man's tomb, the family tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, who happens to be a member of the Sanhedrin, no less. He had not consented to Jesus' condemnation. He was a believer. God has his believers scattered all over the place. Joseph does the courageous thing, and he requests the body from Pilate. Otherwise, the body would have been just taken from the cross and disposed of in the garbage dump. Jesus is buried. They made his grave with the wicked and with the rich man in his death, said Isaiah. All of it, all that has been said, can be summarized in this sentence. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And even that can be summarized in this one word, Hosanna. Save us, Lord. And he has. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you for listening to Sermons from Holy Trinity. Services at Holy Trinity are Sundays at 9 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. Holy Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 15710 Newton Street in Hacienda Heights, California, and on the web at www.htlcms.org.